Amen. Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter number 9. Joshua chapter number 9. And go ahead and take your Bible and be turning there. And tonight is our last midweek family service in this format. Next week, we'll have Master Club orientation. You can take that. We'll have Master Club orientation next week for our midweek discipleship program for our kids. That'll take place next Wednesday night. So that'll involve, excuse me, if you have a child that's involved in Master Clubs, we'll come in, we'll sing together, kids and grown-ups, and then we'll dismiss all of the adults and their kids, because the kids will be involved in the orientation process next Wednesday night as well. So that takes place next Wednesday night. And tonight is the first day of public school in Augusta County. Went back today. Woo! And all God's parents said, amen. And so we're just praying for the school year, first day today, public school. And, of course, ACA, we start back a little less than 2 weeks away. And so I hope that you had opportunity this week at some point to go by the school and pray for the prayer walk. We went by today. It was awesome. Very encouraging and easy layout if you've never done anything like that. And lots of instruction right there as you go in the door, and very easy to be able to navigate through. So appreciate Miss Yvonne and all of the team doing that. Joshua chapter 9 tonight. If you found your place, we're going to talk tonight about just kind of a recap and then one final story from this passage of Scripture when we get to Joshua chapter number 9. And we want to just kind of go back and recap where we have been up to this point. Think about all that the people of Israel had been through up to this point, okay? So let's go back. History lesson here. Remember, their leader, Moses, died right before they went into the promised land. They had a new leader. What was the new leader's name after Moses, young people, kids? What was the new leader's name? I'll give you a hint. His name is the book that we're reading out of tonight. Okay, Joshua, all right? So he's the new leader. He's a great man. God tasks him with being the next leader over the children of Israel. But he's in a kind of a mess. On day number one, God speaks to him and says, I'm going to be with you. You can be strong, be courageous. The first city they go to in this new land, they've never been there before. They go up to Jericho. Remember, God gives them weird instructions and says, I want you to walk around the city one time every single day for six straight days. And then the last day, you're going to march around seven times and you're going to shout. And then the walls are going to fall down flat. And that happened and they won the battle. Well, because they won one battle, they went to the next battle, the battle of a little town called Ai. Ai, you can spell it, Ai. All right, real simple, just like Ai today that we know of. But Ai, that was the next city they came to. But we saw that sin was in the camp. They did exactly what God told them not to do. And because of that, when they went to this little small town, they relied more on themselves than they did on the Lord. And because of that, they got to the town and everybody fought against them and they came back home defeated. Once they finally found out what was wrong, they corrected the problem. When they finally got to Ai, they defeated them. They had the ambush. Remember, they ran and said, oh, we're defeated. And then all of the people lying in ambush came, went in the city, burned it to the ground. We talked about that last week and how they burned it to the ground. And then we get to chapter number 9, and we see another problem that comes up. So here's where I want to ask a question, and this is for all of us. If you were at Makaira, you heard this question asked, but it goes right here in this message. Is it easier for us to make bad choices when things are going good or things are going bad? Is it easier for us to make bad choices when things are going good or things are going bad? As we heard about in Makaira, we heard that one of our speakers said, when everything's going bad, we tend to lean on the Lord. We tend to call out to Him. We tend to pray more. We tend to seek His counsel. We tend to get His advice. We tend to go to Him. But when things are going good, just like the children of Israel, we get forgetful, don't we? We forget that the Lord has blessed us. We forget that the Lord has provided for us. And it's easier when things are going good to make wrong choices. And that's exactly what we see in Joshua chapter number 9. They just saw God win another battle for them. Everything was going great. No problems at all. They just worshiped the Lord together. They just read the Bible together. At the end of chapter number 8, Joshua gave them all of these instructions, and they get ready to make a very poor choice. So if you're taking notes tonight on your handout, you can write down number 1, the group that's mentioned. Look at Joshua chapter 9, verse number 1. And if you don't have your Bible, the verses will be on the screen. It says, "And it came to pass when all the kings which were on this side Jordan, in the hills and the valleys and all the coasts of the great sea over against the Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard thereof." Now what did they hear? What had they heard? They heard something had happened. Look at verse number 2. "That they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord." Now you guys pay really close attention, all right? Chandler? Pay really close attention, okay? All right, so here we go. Word got out to all the people around that Joshua and all the people had been fighting battles. They heard, if you go back to chapter number 5 and verse number 1, it says, "It came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard," there it is again, "that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel till we were passed over, that their heart melted." Now, get this. Chapter number 5, they heard, man, look at what God did. Look at what happened. Everything's going right for Israel, and their hearts melted. They got afraid. The enemy was afraid of the Israelites. Now think about this. We get to chapter number 9, and all of a sudden they're not afraid anymore. What happened between chapter 5 and chapter number 9? Well, yeah, Jericho happened. But that shouldn't have brought them to a place of, man, we want to fight against them. That instilled fear. What one battle took place in that span of time that caused them to think, man, we can do that. We can beat them. The first time they went to Ai. Remember, they'd gone to Ai in chapter number 7 and got defeated. And then when they found out that they lost, word traveled fast, and they found out all these other kings in chapter number 9 found out, man, they're beatable. Now, have you ever seen like maybe basketball or football? Basketball or football? Basketball or football, you see these teams that are go undefeated, 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 and like, no, man, nobody can beat them. And then they have one game where everything doesn't go well. And then all of a sudden, the next team to play them kind of has a little bit of boldness, like, man, we could do that. We could beat them. Because that other team did that. That other team beat them. We could beat them too, because they lost one battle. All of a sudden, they were weak. Now, all these kings had heard what had happened at Ai, and because of them losing that one battle, kingdoms thought that that could happen to them too. Now, here's the thing for us, the application. We might not think that every single battle in our lives has significance. But all it takes is one battle for the enemy to see weakness. All it takes is one battle for the enemy to think, oh, I can get them. I can get them in a weak moment because they fell before. Because they had that battle and they lost. And we think, well, man, Pastor, that's not that big of a deal. That one decision, that one battle, that one fight isn't that big of a deal. But it was big of a deal in here in chapter number 9, verse 1 and 2. It was a huge deal. Now they're relying on themselves, and it's easier for them to rely on themselves now because they've done it before. Now, here's the thing, boys and girls. When we're saved and we have Jesus living inside of us, there are two parts of our life that battle every single day. We have the flesh and we have the spirit. And there's two parts. When we get saved, grown-ups, you know this to be true. When we're saved, we have the flesh and the spirit. Galatians tells us that they're at war against each other every single day. It's just like that dogfight illustration. The one that you feed is the one that's going to win. So when we think about the flesh and the spirit, it's just like that oil and water illustration. You know that oil and water don't mix? And we think sometimes, man, if I just let my flesh win a little bit, and I let my spirit win a little bit, that these two will be able to coexist. You guys seen this before? All right. Now you got two liquids. They should be able to mix together, right? You got two different liquids. They should be able to coexist. they ought to be able to stay in the same space at the same time and mix together. But what happens? You see the difference? You got one that's on the bottom, and you got one that's on the top. They don't coexist. And we know this is a fact because we know the chemical breakdown here. But think about this. When you shake them up and you think, man, they ought to be able to mesh together and stay together and work together in agreement together. But the longer we let this sit, eventually this will separate because oil and water don't mix. Just like our flesh and our spirit don't mix. The flesh and the spirit are always going to be at odds against each other. They don't mix. They always battle each other, just like oil and water. That's harder to see with the food color, but you got water down here and you got oil down up on the top. And the thing is, with the oil and water, the oil was here first. Our flesh was here first. Our flesh, before Jesus, was here first. We were born sinners. We had a sin nature. But when Jesus comes in, now Jesus wants to push that sin nature out. But they're always at odds against each other. And see, grown-ups and boys and girls, oil and water don't mix. Just like our flesh and our spirit cannot coexist together. They don't mix together. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We have a part of us that wants to win. We have a part of us that wants to win. Back and forth, both sides. And they're going to fight each other. And we get to choose which side is going to win. God lets us choose which side wins. He allows us that choice. So there's a group mentioned, all these kings. Number two, there's not just a group. Number two, we see that there's a group called the Gibeonites. All right, say that with me. The Gibeonites. Say that one more time. The Gibeonites. All right, now look at verse number three. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work wilily. Now we'll talk about that word in just a minute. And went and made as if they had been ambassadors and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes clouded upon their feet, old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provisions was dry and moldy. Now you've got this group of kings that says, hey, we're going to go and fight against this group of people, against Joshua and Israel. Then you've got these people called the Gibeonites. Now if we were to look at a map, we can show you a map where this is. Now, think about where we were last week. Remember, we talked about Ai. Look down in the middle of the screen. You see Canaan right there in the dead center. Come down. Right there in the middle is Ai. Now, look to the left, a little bit further down, near the middle of the screen, you see Gibeon. Gibeon was a large city 7 miles away from Ai. 7 miles. This is right down the road from Ai. This is the next city that they would have come to. All right, but what we see is the Gibeonites, verse number three, heard what Joshua did to Jericho and then what they did to Ai, and they assumed we're next. They're coming for us. So what did they do? They did not want that to happen to them. So in verse number four, it said they worked wilily. Now, wilily, that word means they did this hoping to trick Joshua and all the people. Now, is that nice? Is that a nice decision when you try to trick somebody? No. All right, so they worked wilily, the Bible word. They weren't trying to be honest. They weren't trying to say, hey, we're from right down the street. Hey, we live seven miles away. We're right down the road. They were trying to deceive Joshua and the people. They used a disguise. Look what they did. They took old sacks. They took all these wine bottles. They made them old. They bound up all these things. They took old shoes. How many of you have old shoes at your house? All right. How many of you have some old nasty shoes? maybe like you do yard work or something like that. I have a pair of those. The old shoes that I have in my house, the bottoms are falling off, all right? But the old shoes, they took old shoes, put them on their feet. Verse number 5, and old garments upon them. I won't ask if you have old clothes at your house. All the bread, look at this, all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. That's the kind of stuff we throw in the trash can. They're carrying it around with them because they're trying to deceive. They wanted it to look like they lived so far away. We came from such a long way away. We're not from around here. We traveled all this way. But here's the problem. Were they telling the truth, yes or no? No. They're not telling the truth. They're deceiving. And here's the thought that we need to apply to our lives tonight, okay? Here it is. Boys and girls, listen right here. And if you don't get anything else, you paying attention? Here we go. Do you think that Satan, who is our enemy, is Satan good or bad? Bad, okay? Do you think that Satan is going to come at us and say, hey, I'm the devil. I'm the devil. And I want you to know who I am. Do you think he's going to do that, or you think he's going to try and trick us? Which one? You think he's going to be honest, or do you think he's going to try and trick us? Which one? He's going to try and trick us. He's not going to come and say, this is who I am. Be scared. He's going to come to us in different forms, just like he's done all throughout Scripture, just like he does with other people. Remember, he didn't come to Adam and Eve in the garden and say, hey, I'm public enemy number one. I'm your worst nightmare. He came with a question. Think about in our life today. It might be sending someone in our life who we think is our friend and they're really not. It might be somebody who comes in our life and says, hey, don't do what your mom and dad tell you to do. That's wrong. It might be somebody in our workplace who says, oh, you don't have to do what the Bible says. That's ridiculous. That's an old book. Nobody cares about that stuff anymore. It might be somebody that we think is our friend and they're really not. All of those things could be sent from the enemy. Hey, guys, we all know people who say that they're one thing and we know that they're not. And we have to think about, is that Satan trying to deceive me? Is that Satan trying to work, here's the word, wilily, deceitful in my life? We know what Jesus said about Satan in John chapter 8, verse 44. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. Jesus said that Satan cannot tell the truth. Think about that. Satan is incapable of telling the truth because the truth is not in him. So anytime Satan comes to speak to us, it will be a lie. Every single time. When he opens his mouth, it will be a lie. He's a liar, the Bible says, and he's the father of the lie. He's a liar. I like what Thomas Adams said. He said, Satan, like a fisher, baits his hook according to the appetite of the fish. You know, there's some fish that you can go out fishing and you can put a hot dog on that hook and it's effective. Catfish love hot dogs. Catfish love hot dogs that have been soaked in Kool-Aid. There's your fishing tip for the night, okay? Tested and proven true. They like hot dogs soaked in Kool-Aid. But there are certain fish that don't like hot dogs soaked in Kool-Aid. And trout are some of them. Trout like power bait. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You trout fishermen? You know, I know Mr. Manny knows what I'm talking about. They like power bait. So there are certain types of bait for certain types of fish. There are certain things that work with some fish that don't work with other fish. And it's the same thing with us. There are certain temptations that work with some of us that don't work with others of us. And Satan knows which ones work for every believer. He knows what makes us tick. John MacArthur said it like this. Satan is most effective in the church when he comes not as an open enemy, but as a false friend. Not when he persecutes the church, but when he joins it. Not when he attacks the pulpit, but when he stands in it. See, Satan knows what you and I like. And Satan knows what we don't like. And he's going to try and trip us up by using the things that are most effective. That could be, man, I wish I had more friends. Satan's really good at sending friends into our life. Man, I wish somebody would like me. Satan's really good at sending people who like us. Man, I wish somebody would just accept me. Satan's really good at sending people who accept us. I wish I had somebody who would be close to me. Satan sends people who are close to us. See, Satan knows exactly what works for each person. He knew what would work for Eve in Genesis chapter 3. Remember, he said, did God really say that in chapter 3 and verse number 1 of the book of Genesis? Did God really say that, Eve? Did he really mean what he said? And he tricked Eve. Yeah, that's all it took. See, God doesn't ever change his mind or his word. Think about it. God will never change his mind or his word. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not, in the book of Malachi. He cannot lie. Titus chapter 2 tells us he's incapable of lying. So just because something sounds good, looks good, feels good, or even seems good, it doesn't make it good. Just because something sounds good, feels good, looks good, or even seems good, doesn't make it good. All that glitters is not gold, and all that's gold is not good. See, think about it. He tries to deceive just like they did. Just like the Gibeonites tried to deceive Joshua and the people. And it worked. And they even used God's name. It says in verse number 9, we're come because of the name of the Lord thy God. We're just like you. We believe the same thing you do. And they didn't. So we got the group. We've got the Gibeonites. Number 3, if you're taking notes, number 3, we've got the glitch. The glitch. Look at verse number 11. Wherefore, because we live down the road, because we believe the same thing, because we serve the same God, wherefore, our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take you victuals. 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 That's our word. Victuals with you for the journey. And go to meet them and say unto them, we are your servants. Therefore, now make ye a league with us. This our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. And now, behold, it's dry and it is moldy. All these things they start saying. They get to verse 11 and say, this is where we came from. And then now we have a request. Let's make a deal. Verse number 14. And the men, this is talking about the Israelites, took of their victuals. You know what this means? Have you ever seen at your house, boys and girls, have you ever gone in the refrigerator and you've seen stuff in your refrigerator that's growing mold? You ever seen that in your refrigerator? Have you ever wanted to go in the refrigerator and see, how many of you have seen cheese with stuff growing on it? You ever seen cheese with stuff growing on it in your refrigerator? What about bread at your house? Stuff's growing on it? Have you ever seen that and thought, I wonder what that tastes like, and gone and got it and just, anybody in here ever done that? Ever said, man, I would love for that penicillin, man, just to make me feel so much better. No, that's disgusting. But it says in verse number 14, and the men took of their victuals. You know what that says? They ate what they had. We're going to sample to see if this bread really is moldy. That's disgusting. You can look and see that it's gross. But here's the point. Here's their problem. Verse 14. The men took of their victuals, if that wasn't bad enough, and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. You know what they didn't do? They didn't pray about this. You know, there are some things in our life that we don't have to pray about. We shouldn't have to pray about whether or not we're going to read our Bible. We shouldn't have to pray about whether or not it's a good idea to pray. We shouldn't have to pray about whether or not I'm supposed to witness to other people and tell them about Jesus. We shouldn't have to pray about whether or not we should come to church. There are some things that are clear, cut and dry. They're in the Bible. It's clear. God said to do this and we should do it. God said don't do this. We shouldn't do that. There are some things we just don't have to pray about. But in verse number 14, they didn't pray about whether or not they should join an alliance with these people. All these people said was, we just want you to protect us. We'll serve you. We'll join forces with you. We're from so far away. Please help us. And they didn't ask God. Now, here's the easy question for all of us. Do you think God knew where they were from? Do you think God knew what they were trying to do? The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. He sees everything. He hears everything. He knows every conversation. He knew exactly where these people were from. We think that God could have told Joshua or the people the truth? Yeah. But they didn't even ask. They didn't even ask for help. Now, here's the thing. If he sees everything around us, then that means that he knows every detail that we don't know. If he sees everything around us, then he knows everything that we don't know. And if we ask him, he'll tell us when we need to know. Here's what happened. Look at verse 15. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them, a promise to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. They made a promise that they were not supposed to make. They made a decision without asking the Lord for help. This is a poor choice. And they made that poor choice right in the middle of when things were going well. We just saw a great battle. We just saw God do something awesome. We just spent time in the Bible. Everything's going great. And they let down their guard. See, when things are going well, boys and girls, when things are going well, we still need to remember that we need God's help. Grown-ups, when things are going well, we need to remember that we need God's help. We need his counsel. We need his advice. We need his wisdom. James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally, overflowing, and upbraideth not. He won't strike us down for asking for it. He'll give it to us. And all we have to do is ask. They didn't ask, and it caused them problems. They said, oh, we got this. That's exactly what they did in Ai the first time. We don't even need the whole army. We got this. And they didn't ask God. And it caused problems that we'll talk about next week. But here's the final thought for tonight. When we have the easy decisions of our life that we need to make, and it's not cut and dry in God's word, do we take time to pray about it first? Or do we say, I got this. This is an easy one. I don't need advice. I got this. And those are the times when we make poor choices, just like they did. Let's pray together tonight. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the reminders, Lord, that there are decisions in our life that are easy. Decisions that you've laid out clearly in your word. There are some things that we should do based on your word. There are some things that we should not do based on your word. But Lord, those times when it's not easy, when we don't know which way to go, even when we feel like, oh, that's such a simple decision, help us to bring it to you in prayer. Help us to challenge ourselves that we will pray about all things. In everything, give thanks, but pray without ceasing. Lord, help us to be in an attitude and a mindset that we'll pray about everything, no matter what. Even if it seems like a no-brainer, that we'll pray and we'll take counsel of you first. Lord, this might not have seemed like a big thing for them, but it became a big thing for them. Lord, please help us to pray about all things. And Lord, please give us your mind and your wisdom. Please give us a great night tonight. Keep us safe. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to have our prayer time tonight.